The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here it is required as in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then everyone will have his praise from God. And then the gospel is taken that according to St. Luke chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of the district of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then, a few considerations this fourth Sunday of Advent. The spirit of Advent. The word Advent means the coming. We're preparing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in His first coming. We'll have the three Masses of His coming on Christmas, His coming of the flesh at the midnight Mass, His coming in our souls at the second Mass at 8, and then His coming in the world, His coming in grace, and coming in the church in the second Mass, and His coming in grace in the third Mass. And so we have the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, a consideration here in the spirit of Advent. There are many, we're now in the time of the Oantiphons, time of the seven different titles. Each day we consider a different one at the Office of Vespers of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And He is Wisdom, the Star of David, the Root of Jesse, Emmanuel, Adonai, the Lord. And so you consider His titles. And the spirit of this season of Advent is meant to be the spirit of our life on earth. There is a kind of penance in that, but it is the penance of is not like unto the penance of Lent, but it is a penance of expectation. We have a penance of expectation. Like when you have a large feast, Thanksgiving dinner, or great celebration of some kind, or Christmas dinner, in preparation for the feast, we fast so that we can eat more at the table, and so that we can enjoy more of the food. And when you eat something before dinner, the mom always says, don't spoil your supper. And this is the spirit of the fast of Advent. And it is the spirit of the fast of the supernatural and spiritual life. Now from time to time we do penance in the spiritual life. Well, we do it not in order to accomplish anything negative, but so that we will not spoil the supper of the Lord. So that when the time comes that we can be with Him for all eternity, there will be a greater feast than there would be had we not fasted. There will be a greater celebration. And so this is the spirit, or part of the spirit of this fasting of Advent. It is the fasting of expectation. And it is supposed to be our spirit in supernatural life. We are waiting for something. And we are waiting for is the child Jesus, the King, to come. So that we can see Him taste, touch, smell, come into complete contact with Him. We can point where He is. We know where heaven is. We can point to the place. We know what to do to get there. We can follow His example. We know where to go, wherever He does. All of a sudden, our faith becomes simple. We only have to prepare for His coming. And all of supernatural life is awaiting for the coming of God at the judgment. When He comes, He will say, "Come to me, beloved of my Father," to those that are in the state of grace. And we wish to find ourselves amongst that group of the elect. And since we plan to be amongst that group by living the life that will put us there, our spirit in supernatural life throughout the whole year needs to be this spirit of Advent. We fast a little. We do a little penance. We look forward to the coming of Christ. We realize that He is not yet fully here. His body and blood and soul and divinity are in the tabernacle, but He is not yet fully here because He does not have the total possession of every heart on the earth. He has not yet cast all the souls that are damned eternally into the pit of hell. He hasn't totally taken His dominion. And we want to be with Him in His total dominion and be with Him with all the saints praising Him for all eternity. And we are wait for that day. And we're willing to wait as long as He wants us to wait. We know not when, where, or how He will come. But we know that He's going to come where. We know where He's coming to every one of us at all places in the earth. But we don't know when and how. We just simply wait. And we live in such a way as to expect His coming. This provides joy in the supernatural life. The expectation. We may have to do penance. We may have to run into trials and tribulations. There may be enemies that attack us. There may be weaknesses and difficulties on all sides. But we will look up beyond and through them to a higher place. And we will wait for the advent or for the coming of the Lord. So in the spirit of Advent, there are many beautiful prayers that are put into the breviary. One that Bishop Williamson used to quote all the time. "And the trees shall clap their hands," it says in the Old Testament. It says in the book of Psalms. "And the trees will clap their hands at the coming of the Lord." It says that whenever the wind blows through them, the trees feel the presence of God. And they clap their hands. And that is why they make a noise as the wind blows through them. And it says throughout the season of Advent that the trees shall clap their hands and the hills shall sing because Christ is coming. And so there is singing and there is a clapping of hands at the expectation of the coming of the King. What must have the journey of the three kings been like? According to many saints, they would already be on this journey now before His birth. And as they were walking, they went into many trials and tribulations. But each day they counted off the days as one day closer to the great King. One day closer to being able to give Him the gift of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so each day their joy must have increased on their journey. And their expectation must have grown. And this is the way that our life is supposed to be inside of our own souls. That we are likened to a bride that counts the days and the hours before the bridegroom cometh. Counts the days and the hours before the wedding day. Because they want to be with their beloved. And the soul that loves God counts the days and the hours. And we need to learn to do that. To see that each day as we grow older, perhaps our bodies are failing. But there is no excuse for older souls who have been baptized many years ago. There is no excuse for them to not have deep joy in their hearts, since they know that each day they are getting closer, closer to the day that God will come. So an 80-year-old should be happier than a 70, and a 70 happier than a 60, and so on, because each one is most certain that they are closer to the coming of the Lord. And this is the Catholic spirit. And there's always something wrong, something deeply wrong, when we do not find joy in our elderly, when there is not something fire burning inside of the heart, and there is not a twinkle in the eye that there should be in anyone that has received Jesus Christ in baptism and lived a life with Him. Even though they have committed many sins and have much to be sorry for over their lives, they know that God is filled with love and that it is possible to get closer to Him, and that they are closer to the day of His coming, and that if they have their heart aiming at our Lord Jesus Christ, then when He comes on the day of judgment, it will not be a frightful day. It'll be the day of seeing a babe in a manger rather than the day of a judge coming to say, "Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire." And so let's be sure that every one of us tries our best to consider the whole of the life and what the church calls this veil of tears. And let's look at this whole life as simply a preparation ground for the great coming of Christ. And we long for His coming, coming inside of my own soul, whether it be through receiving the state of grace into the confessional, an increase of it at the Holy Eucharist, at the communion table, or an increase through doing an act of virtue, or whatever it might be, His coming inside of my soul in whatever means He chooses through the trials and tribulations and gifts of daily life. And then we want Him to come into the soul of my family. We want Him to come into the soul of my country and into the soul of the whole world. And there is a certain restlessness about this season of Advent. We are not at rest, but we are waiting and waiting and waiting. And we are pushing and pushing and pushing for the coming of the Lord. And we need to carry this spirit throughout the whole world, that we are going to wait and we are going to try to prepare for His coming. As St. John the Baptist prepared eagerly for the coming of Christ, so likewise we must prepare eagerly for His coming. Not only in our own souls, but in our country and in the world. We want Him to reign in this entire world. And He will not reign perfectly until after the day of the final judgment. And so we are not afraid that we are one day closer to that final judgment. But we long for it, because on that day there shall begin eternal and perfect peace. And all will reign on this earth, purified completely of sin, with Him. We will be with the Christ child as our King, and as the play, one that we play with, our playmate. "My delight is to be with the sons of men," He says. So we wait for the coming of the wisdom, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, the coming of the star that is going to show us the way and give us the light to see all things, and the one who shall be called the Wonderful. And there isn't anything wonderful without Him. And so we might as well think of Him daily, and every day talk to Him. Even when we find ourselves in sin, talk to Him. And ask Him to give you the strength to go back to confession, to say the rosary again, to stay away from weakness and from sin, and to be closer to Him and be ready for the day of His coming. And then when He comes, He will bring all of us. It will be a great day of joy. But it is only a day of joy for those that love Him. It is not a day of joy for those that do not. And in a world that does not love Him, there is no joy. But if we love Him, we can bring joy back into this world. And so let's be sure that we try to do that in great expectation of His coming. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.